This is Pastor Joshua Swilly, and you're listening to the Hope United podcast. We pray that this message is a blessing to you. Over the next couple weeks, I want to take us on a journey with the wise men. Since it's the Christmas season, I want to take you on a journey with the wise men. How many, just real quick, how many people like the Christmas season? I think we have some Christmas lovers. How many people do not like the Christmas season? Okay, how many people like the Christmas season? So I want to take you on this journey today to see what the wise men saw, to have the revelation that they had to go on this journey. So God gave me this message, the journey of the wise men. The journey of the wise men. And I think there are some things that we can learn from these iconic figures in the story of Jesus. And if you will, go with me to Matthew 2. Will you go on a journey with me today? Yes. Matthew 2. And this is kind of the setup. This is kind of the backstory. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of Herod, King Herod. And about that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." So I want to take a look at who these men were, what made them so special. Some theologians speculate these men could have been descendants from the exiles that never returned back to Israel. But for sure, they were well studied in the scriptures. They knew the prophetic books. They knew the prophecies about the Messiah. And they were eagerly anticipating this Messiah. So I want to focus first on three aspects, and then I'll give you one last aspect. But what we see in Matthew 2 immediately about these men is, number one, they came from the east. Number two, they were looking for the king. Number three, they were looking for a sign. Number one, they came from the east. Number two, they were looking for the king. Number three, they were looking for a sign. So the first thing is, you know, they came from the east. And I want to tell you this. It doesn't matter where you come from, what your background is, what you might be currently at right now. What's most important is where you finish. You see, the story didn't end in the east. The story ended in Bethlehem. That was the climax of the story. That was, you know, the big headline news was Bethlehem, Jesus, born in a manger, right? And so although their stories started at a very different place, God was able to use them. And God is able to use you no matter where you are today. No matter where you've been in your journey, God can use you. Look at somebody and say, God can use me. We have to remind ourselves, because sometimes, far too often, we disqualify ourselves. Say, well, this is my background. Well, this is how I fouled out. Or this is how I've messed up and God can't redeem me. That's ridiculous. God can redeem anybody. God can fix any circumstance if we're willing to turn it over to him. And so it doesn't matter where you start, it matters where you finish. It doesn't matter where you start if you're willing to move. You see, the thing is, sometimes we want the miracle. We want to see God do great things. We want to see the dreams that God has placed in our life come to pass, but we don't want to move. There's some things that we're stubborn on. We don't want to change those things. We've been here for years. We've been doing this for years, and this is how I'm going to do it. And we don't want to move. You see, the wise men weren't afraid to move. Much like the disciples, they put their lives on hold. They left their homes. They put their businesses on hold. Whatever their occupation was, whatever was going on in their family life, whatever was going on in their circle of friends, they said, I'm going to put this on hold and move with the Spirit. We have to be willing to move when the Spirit is saying move, because God can't take you where you need to go if you won't move. You got to give up some of the things, some of the ways you thought about before. You got to be willing to change the way you think, your thought process. You got to be willing to change some of the actions, some of the things that you're doing in your life, so that God can get you to the place you need to go. Anybody want to get to the place where God wants to take you? I don't know about you, but I want to get where God wants to take me. I don't want to stay in the same place. When we come into 2020, I don't want to be at the same place I was at in 2019. I sure don't want to be the same place I was at 2018. I'm definitely not at the place I was in 2017. I want to move. I want us to be a people that are on the move. God's people should be a people that hear and respond. They're not stuck in a rut. They're not stubborn, saying, God, I'm not turning this area over to you. Saying, no, if you say move, I'm willing to move. Doesn't matter where you start if you're willing to move. They were looking for a miracle. They're praying for a miracle. They're desperate for a miracle. And they're willing to move. God can't even use people that won't move. You know that when you get stubborn, when you get stuck in an area, that's the biggest thing. A lot of times we think that we're waiting on God, but he's waiting on us to move. It's like the dad that's in the car saying, come on, let's go. Sometimes I'm in the car and I'm like, hey, let's go. People are tying their shoes for days. I'm like, come on, let's go. And God is waiting on us like that. He's saying, come on, let's move. I've got something better for you. I've got something greater for you. But we got to get a move on. You can't go on the journey if you stay in the same place. These men were on a move to find what they were looking for. They felt something. They heard something. They read something. They knew something. And they needed to move. Church, in this next season, be on the move. What does your life look like? What does your spiritual walk look like? Are you moving? Is there movement in your walk? Is there movement? Can you say to me today that I'm at a different place than I was 3 months ago? Is there movement in your spiritual walk? Or did you just get comfortable? Did you just set up a tent and just kind of camp out at some place? It wasn't the destination God had, but it was just, hey, let's pitch a tent. Let's take a break. I'm tired of fighting. Let's just take a blow. Take a break. Camp out here for a minute. When God is saying, I've got something better. These wise men knew they had to move because God was doing something and God was saying something. Know when you need to move. Can I say something about this season that we're in and the next season we're going into? Know when you need to move. God will tell you. Even in business, God will say, nope, don't go there. Go there. Don't go here, go there. Go here, don't go there. Know when you need to move. Number two, they were looking for the king. I love this because as Christians, we should be looking for the king in everything we do. No matter what I'm doing, I'm looking for the king. I'm looking for something kingdom in what I'm doing. I'm saying, is there some way that I can honor God in what I'm doing right now? Maybe in this business deal, maybe in this transaction, maybe at my job, maybe among my friends. Am I looking for the king? I love about these guys. They come up, they're bold. They made it known. It wasn't a mystery they were looking for the king. Even at their own possible peril, they come before King Herod and say, we're looking for the king. Do you know how offensive that is? You show up in someone's nation and you say to the king, hey, I'm looking for the new king. Well, here I am. No, the new king. Of course he was offended. For some of us, it's a mystery. Some people around us don't even know. Are you a Christian? Are you looking for the king? Some of us, your look for the king looks just like their regular life. How are they supposed to know that you're looking for the king? How is the king supposed to know you're looking for him? Amen. If it looks exactly the same. Right. We try to blend in so much. These men weren't blending in. They said, hey, we're looking for the king. They come up in the palace. Hey, we're looking for the king. Among all the people that are supposed to be spiritual, among all the people that are supposed to get it, he said, hey, we're looking for the king. And everybody that hears it, they're upset, they're worried, they're arguing, right? Isn't that what they said? Jerusalem was like upset by this news, right? Looking for the king. Are you looking? Look for the king in everything you do. Let your actions, let your journey be motivated by a search to know him more. Let your journey be motivated by a search to go where he wants you to go. Look for the king in your life, in every aspect. God wants to get involved in our lives. You know, to the point to where he's involved, blessing us at our job. He's involved, blessing us in our family. He's involved, giving us the right type of relationships and open doors. He wants to be involved. He wants us to look for him. Look for him. And so this journey wasn't a short journey from the Far East to Bethlehem, but these men were committed. Some theologians say it was a 2-year journey, but let me tell you something. Even if it wasn't 2 years, it was a long journey, okay? It was not by plane. It was not by car on an interstate. It was on camels and horses and pack animals and walking. At best, it was months. At the least, it was months. They were committed to finding what they were looking for. How committed are you to finding what God has called you to find? How committed are you to finding the purposes of the king in your life? We have to do a check every once in a while and say, am I committed to this? Because these men committed. They put their lives on hold for months, maybe years, to find the king. The Bible never said your spiritual walk is going to be easy. It doesn't say your spiritual walk is going to be simple. Jesus tells us in Matthew 16, 24, he says, take up your cross and follow. There's going to be some sacrifices. There are going to be some things you got to crucify to follow me. It's not always going to be easy. It'll be worth it. There's a blessing. You're going to be happy in the end. But you got to be committed. Jesus was committed to go to the cross. These wise men were committed. The disciples, early disciples, they were committed. We have to be committed to get to our destination. If you want to arrive at the place God is trying to take you, you have to commit to the journey. These men committed to finding Jesus. And Jesus, finding Jesus was their priority. Man, this is what happens to too many believers. First, Jesus is our priority, and we come to Christ, and we're loving it. And we're doing it, and it's all hallelujahs and down on our knees and in the altar. And then come some other conflicting priorities little by little until there's things that are jumbling up our priorities. Now we don't have time to do the same things that we used to have to do. Now it's difficult to search for the king, to look for the king, because I've got all these priorities. I'm trying to manage all these priorities. It's so many things. These men were wise because they knew how to make Jesus their priority. So we're going to look for Jesus. We're going to look for the king. That's our priority on this trip. We're not going to get distracted. Camels are not going to become our priority. Feeding the camels, feeding ourselves, trying new cuisines is not going to be the priority is going to be looking for Jesus. Looking for Jesus. And that's how they stayed sharp in the spirit. They were looking for the king. If you're looking for the king, guess what you're going to find? The king. The Bible says, ask, knock, right? Seek. These men found it because they were looking. That's the problem. There was a lot of other people at that time. They were not looking for the king. They were not looking for the Messiah. They were not looking for Jesus. Not the way these men were. because they came from way away, not the next neighborhood over, countries over, to traverse because they were looking for the king. Determine in your mind what God has called you to do and set out on a journey to do it. Make a focus of what God has called you to do in your life. Don't just seek Jesus once. Seek Jesus every day. Don't just seek the king once. Seek the king in everything you do. God wants to be involved. God wants to take what you're doing and elevate it. God wants to take your family, make it better. God wants to take your marriage, make it better. God wants to take your finances, make it better. He wants to be involved. But we got to be looking for him. Got to be looking for the king. Number three, they were looking for a sign. These men were watching for what God would do. Do we do that? Do we stop and say, what is God doing around me right now? What is it? Is there a sign? Is there something God's trying to communicate to me? God does stuff in all areas of our life. It's not just on Sunday morning. I was going to get this refinance for this house that I had. And I was going into this building. And there's this lady that came out. And I was like, okay. Lady came out. I know the lady. And she said, don't trust this person. This person that you're about to sign this contract with for this mortgage. Don't do it. Don't trust this lady. And I wasn't watching for the sign. I blew right past that, by that lady. I was like, man, I don't know, that lady, you know. I went in there and I signed that mortgage, and it was not a good deal. It was not a good decision. God sent me a sign in the form of a person. That person gave me a word from the Holy Spirit. I blew right by it. I wasn't looking for the sign. You see, we have to look for the signs, not just in the overtly spiritual things. His Holy Spirit wants to be involved in our everyday life and give us signs to help us prosper. These men were watching for a sign. They were sensitive in the spirit enough to pick up on what God was doing. You see, we need to continue to pray for discernment and that we're alert to see what we need to see. How many people pray for wisdom or discernment or something like that? Because we need it. We need the Holy Spirit. It says the Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth. How many know when you ask the Holy Spirit can give you these things? The gifts of the Holy Spirit. He's got discernment for you. He can give you prophetic wisdom into what's going to happen. See, these men were looking for a sign. They were looking for a sign. Jesus said to the disciples in Matthew 26, he said, watch and pray. So you got to be alert. Jesus is saying, don't just pray. Pray and make sure that you're alert. Pray and make sure that you pray for a sense of being alert, that you're discerning of life, what's coming. We got to be discerning for two things. The main thing, what is God doing? Yeah. Number two, if you're discerning, you'll know what the enemy is doing before he gets there. That's why I love surrounding myself with people that are truly spiritual. Because people that are truly spiritual, they don't just have the exterior. They actually are discerning. Yeah. And they'll tell you, hey, I feel kind of like the enemy's trying to do this right now in this season. And guess what? If you're discerning, you will be alert. Far too often as believers, we're missing what God wants to show us. Opportunities that he wants to bless us and he wants to take us somewhere. Imagine if these wise men were not alert and open to what God was doing. The Christmas story would be completely different. It wouldn't involve the wise men. It'd be the shepherds, right? Shepherds and maybe somebody else. They would have completely missed it. And we can miss out when we're not alert and discerning of what God is doing. God is always doing something. God is always desiring to bless his people. God is always desiring to give us a greater revelation, a greater blessing, a greater breakthrough, something greater for our family, but we oftentimes miss it. How many have ever wondered, where is the disconnect? I see the scripture, I see the word of God, and then I see a lot of Christians that aren't blessed. Sometimes we're not looking for the signs. We're not paying attention to the signs. Imagine what would happen if we're in our car and we don't see the sign that says it's under construction, that the road's messed up. Get our car, get all damaged and banged up and busted up. Now we got to take it to the shop. And instead of getting where we need to go, we got to take a longer amount of time because we're back at the repair shop. The same thing happens to us in life. We don't look at the signs and God says, nope, shh, caution. Don't go this way. Go a different way. Detour. We don't see it. We try to plow right through. We make the journey longer. God wanted to already get us to that blessing. God wanted to already get us to that promise. God wanted to already get us to that overflow. But instead, we're back at the repair shop.
Pray for me. Finances are messed up again. The family's all fighting.
The repair shop. Instead of the promise that God has given. God is always doing something. Look for his signs. Look at somebody say, look for his signs. They're all over the place. The Holy Spirit. Spend time every week. Spend a little time every day seeking God. Keep your discernment sharp. Keep your spirit in tune with what he's saying, what he's doing. The Bible says, my sheep know my voice. How do you get to the place where you know someone's voice? You got to spend time with them. You know, my kids, you know, if you don't know them, their voices sound very similar. You know, so if you're in the next room, you're like, was that Christian or was that Esperanza? Which one was that? Because they're like 2 years apart and their voices sound, they say a lot of the same things. But if you really know, then you know the nature of what one would say and the nature of what the other one would say. The Bible says, my sheep know my voice. The reason why we know the voice of the shepherd is by hanging out with the shepherd, spending time, communion. The more time we spend around him, the more we learn what his voice sounds like. And then all of a sudden, we're not missing opportunities because we're hearing things that we never heard before. There's revelations that we never thought of before. And God has opportunities all around us. And we are the best versions of ourselves when we're listening to his Holy Spirit inside of us. We're the best version of ourselves. There's a version of our life where we're blessed, we're walking in authority, we're living in overflow, finances are good, family is good, and there's another version where we're got the partial blessing. Yeah, we're saved. Yeah, we're, you know, not in the infirmary, you know. I'm kind of good, you know. Kind of in a good financial position. No, God wants us to have the full package. But we got to look for the signs. Are we watching the signs? Are we listening for his voice? Are we eager to hear what he's saying? The wise men were eager to know what God would do. And that's how they caught what God was doing. They were looking. They were eagerly waiting for God to do something, to say something. Now here's the fourth thing. Fourth thing, and we find it in Matthew 2:11. It says, they entered the house and saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and they worshiped him. Then they opened their treasure chest and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. You see, when they came into the presence of God, when they came into connection with God, when they were given the opportunity, when their paths intersected with God, they worshiped. They bowed down and they worshiped. They didn't continue to do what they had done before. They changed their position. They changed their posture with God. They said, I'm going to bow down. I'm going to submit all of my knowledge, these were very knowledgeable men, and evidently they had a lot of finances. They were rich men. They were willing to humble themselves. They were willing to give. And they understood this, that giving is a part of worship. Intrinsically, they knew not to show up without a gift. That something that they could give would be the icing on the cake. Something that they would give would be appropriate. Some theologians say that this gift that they gave was so substantial that it was able to take care of that Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus' expenses for the next 2 years as they fled into Egypt. So true worship is always going to involve you giving something. I think that's where we miss it. Sometimes we come into the house of God and we want to worship without giving anything. You don't want to give God a song. You don't want to lift up our hands, give that. We don't want to dance. We don't want to be inconvenienced. We don't want to sow a seed financially. But true worship always costs you something. True worship costs you something. When I talk to our worship team about singing and about worshiping, about praising, about leading our church in worship, I say it's got to cost you something. Don't come up here and just get up on the stage and expect something to happen. Bring something in your hand. Bring something with you. Don't expect for me to just me bring it or Minister Johnny bring it. You bring it too. You bring something from your heart. And it says they opened up their treasure boxes. Does anybody know what you keep in a treasure box? You guys are so astute. The treasure, it was something that they had thought about, and it was something that it was of value. They didn't give Jesus an afterthought. After they traveled all this way, they didn't say, wow, here's the leftovers from the stuff we didn't, from our expenses. We do that sometimes. These men, they had prepared this treasure, something that was special, something that was sacred to them. Say, I feel that this is appropriate. Worship was a part of their giving. Giving was a part of their worship. And I think, you know, what if I showed up at your house and it was your birthday or special occasion, and I swung by Walgreens on the way, or CVS, and I picked you up a gift, and I came and I gave you that gift, the gift of Walgreens. Would that give me favor in your life? Not as your pastor, just as a regular person showing up at your house with a Walgreens gift at your birthday party. It would just be like, oh, all right, thanks. Do you know sometimes we come before the Lord and we give God an afterthought? We give God a Walgreens gift. But on the contrary, imagine if I came to your house and I'd been thinking about it for about 3 months. And I said, what do I want to give this person for this special occasion? I'd put some money aside. I'd save some money, put some money back. And I knew some of the things that you needed. And when I showed up, I brought something that was both thoughtful and of value. What type of favor would I have with you then? What type of impression would I have made on you? Here's the thing. Sometimes we're expecting a harvest in our life, and we're bringing God a Walgreens gift. We bring God an afterthought and we think that's going to demand a harvest from God and from our environment. Can I tell you that true worship will cost you something? True worship cost the wise men something. Those gifts, although they were well off, I'm sure that gold hurt a little bit. That it was something of value, something that costed. But I want to tell you this, and God showed me this. You see, the wise men had seen the stars, seen God sign in the stars. They had read the word of God and been inspired, but they had never had a divine visitation. They had never had a visitation and a dream from God. When they gave their gift, it opened up a whole new season of revelation for them. When we give to God in worship, it opens up a whole new season of communication for us. These men had seen a lot of things. They'd studied a lot of things, but never had they had God came to them. See, they came to God. That was different. They gave a gift in worship, and God came to them. When we pray and we're thoughtful and we give, something happens in the spirit. It gets God's attention. And our gift commands a harvest. You don't even have to say anything at that point. Your very faith and your gift demands a harvest. I want us to go on a journey with these wise men. I believe God wants to show us something. And no matter where you are today, no matter where you're starting, no matter where you are currently, God can take you someplace amazing. God can take you to a place of purpose. God can take you to a place of blessing. No matter where, what your life looks like, start looking for the King in everything. Start looking for the King in every area of your life. Look for signs. Look for signs. Is God saying something to me today? God, make me sensitive to hear your voice. God, make me sensitive to see what I need to see. Because God, I want to move when you say move. God, I want to do what you say do. God, I want to be blessed. And then last, that we learn how to give. Whether that's us giving an offering of praise, an offering of worship, whether it's us giving something financially, but we come always with an expectation to give. I want to come into the presence of God and I want to make an exchange. I don't know about you, but I want to make an exchange with God. Because let me tell you, whatever I got in my hand is nothing in comparison to what He has in His hand. So when I release my song, or I release my gift, or I release my finances to Him, guess what? Something powerful and revelatory happens in my life. David said this in 2 Samuel. He said, I will not present to God something that costs me nothing. I'm not going to give to God. My sacrifice, my offering is not going to be something that costs me nothing. And just so you knew, there was this moment that a breakthrough that David needed. Anybody ever needed a breakthrough in your life? David needed a breakthrough. And he needed a breakthrough for his nation. People were dying. He had made a wrong decision, and the people were paying the price for it. He was trying to fix this. And this man offered him, he said, listen, take this cattle. You can give an offering to God with this cattle. I'll give you the offering because you're the king, and I just, you know, love you. And he said, nope, I'm going to buy it from you at full price. Don't even give me a discount, because I'm not going to offer God something that doesn't cost me. David understood something, and David was one of the, I know we know him as the worshiper, I know we know him as the warrior, but he was also one of the wealthiest kings that Israel ever had. Why? Because he understood how to give. He gave in his worship. He gave his song. He gave his dance. He gave of his finances. And because he gave, God blessed him. He blessed him with victory. He blessed him with the ability to produce wealth. And I believe God wants to bless us so much in this new year. I believe God wants to do some things in our families, in our finances, in our careers and our jobs God doesn't want you to stay in the same place. How many believe that? God doesn't want you to stay in the same place. God wants to move you. God wants to challenge you. God wants to give you a word and say, get in the car. We're going somewhere. Let me pray for you today. God, I thank you, Lord, that you would just, God, touch us. Father, give us the revelation, Father, that you showed these wise men, God, that it doesn't matter where they came from. God, you can get us on a path. You can get us on a journey, and you can take us to some place that is powerful. That is awesome. You can take us to the place of purpose. You can take us to the place of promise, God, if we are willing to move when you speak. God, I thank you, Lord, that you would let us have a heart to look for you in everything. Everything we do, we're looking for the King. Everything we do, we're looking for the King. Everywhere we go, we're looking, how does this benefit the kingdom? How do I work this to be a blessing? And God, Lord, I thank you that you would let us look, Father. Let us be sharp to see the signs. See when we don't need to go this way, when we do need to go this way, when we need to slow down, when we need to speed up. God, you're the one that gives us the signs. You give us revelation. You give us you give us words, God, of encouragement and direction if we're watching for the signs. And God, I thank you, Father, that you'd give us heart to give. God, let us be givers, God, because at the core of you, that's one of the fundamental things. John 3:16, for you loved us so much that you gave. You loved us so much that you gave. You loved the world so much that you gave, and you didn't give anything. God, you gave a one of a kind. You gave your only begotten Son. So I thank you, God. Take us on a journey. Let us see what you need us to see in this season, God. And I thank you, Father. I know there's some people here today. Maybe you say, Pastor, I'm on a journey, but I really haven't found what I'm looking for. I'm on a journey and somehow I've kind of lost connection. I've lost touch. I feel like I've gotten off and away from Jesus, and I need to reconnect with Jesus. I need to get back on the right path. I need to make sure that I'm serving Him. If that's you, just slip up your hand. I want to pray for you today. Amen. 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 We can waste so much time, so much energy, working hard, but going down the wrong path. Working hard, doing things that we think are the right thing, but maybe we just on the right, wrong path. So I want to pray for you. If you lift up your hand, I want you to pray this prayer with me. And everybody here, you can pray this with me. Jesus, help me. Lead me on the path that I need to be on. I'm sorry for doing it my way. I'm sorry for getting off the path. Help me walk with you. Thank you for taking my sins away. Thank you for taking all of my shortcomings and faults away. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Jesus, I want your best for me. So lead me. Help me to live a life that's like you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give God the praise today.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Please consider planting a seed in this ministry. Any seed helps us get the gospel message out to those that would otherwise not hear it. If you want to give, please click the link below in the episode notes. If you're in the area, come visit us in Pembroke Pines, Florida. May God bless you, and may you possess the promise God has for you.